Blog Talk Radio.
Lying in bed with the radio on, moonlight falls like rain, soft summer nights. Been thinking of you. When will I see you again? Soft and low, the music moans. I can't stop thinking about you. Thinking about you.
Of Enlightenment with Lou U. Wild Dove, Miss Katie, Frank, and Gray Eye Smith. We will be doing front page poetry today and open poetry. I want to thank everybody. Congratulations to everybody who got front page picks. And thank you to everybody who added the poems when I didn't have anything last week in open poetry. And oh, it's just a bountiful of poems for tonight. So I am so looking forward to it, and the recordings that people have made, the audios, it's going to be fabulous. And to tell you a little bit about our subs, we are the Late Night Poet Group. Our group is sponsored by poetry written from poets from all around the world that donated it for books. And you can find us on Amazon.com. And just like our group, Late Night Poets Anthologies. And there's various books up there. Whatever tickles your fancy, it is up there. So we're going to go ahead and get started. And I'm going to pick up my first caller. And Miss Katie from Scotland. Hey, Katie.
Hello, my dear. Glad to be here.
I'm so happy to have you. I'm looking forward to the show. And my other co-host is Gray Eye Smith. Hey, Gray.
Hello, Lou. Hi, Weaver.
Hi, Gray.
So happy to have you. And we have another caller.
Thank you.
Caller 703, who am I speaking with?
Zach.
Hi, Zach. How you doing?
Hey. Hi, thanks. How y'all doing?
Oh, I was so happy to have you. We're going to have a great show. So if you love to read poetry, give us a call. And if not, just hang out in the group, make comments, and we're ready to start this fabulous show tonight, Miss Katie.
All righty. Next, well, the first thing we have coming up is Fall Morning Rain by CRL17. I'm going to start off and read this one, okay?
Okay.
So it's Fall Morning Rain by CRL17. Oh, my goodness. I didn't pick this one on purpose, believe me. I had no idea. It was a brevity. Oh, cool. Okay. Lovely
okay.
picture. Lovely, lovely picture. And it's early morning October rain, the songbirds and old hound dogs have hidden their songs. End poem.
Oh, that was quick. And you did it beautifully. What a way to start off the night. This is a beautiful poem by CRL. Congratulations on your front page pick. I wish everybody could see the artwork that he wrote this for. You know, there's nothing like the smell of October rain and, you know, listening to birds. And, you know, I do, you know, like to hear, you know, the dogs bark up and down the block that lets me know when the waterman's coming. And also the mailman. So, you know, it's just a wonderful time to just sit outside and enjoy it with a cup of coffee. Congratulations, Chuck. This is absolutely gorgeous. And you did a beautiful job in reading it, Miss Katie. So, and he got an HM. What did you think about the poem, Greg?
I like it. Short and sweet. You know, it really captures the image well. I enjoyed it a lot. You know, it was a fantastic little brevity. You did a beautiful job of reading it, Katie.
And for a minute there, I thought you were talking about yourself, Gray.
Oh, my goodness.
What did you think? What did you think of the poem, Zach?
Oh, he's talking to me. Oh, I got a lot of
yes,
poem. I'm sorry. Okay. So early morning October rain, kind of like I guess a deluge of rain in order to silence like the sounds of the hound dogs and the songbirds. Must have been pretty like torrential, I guess, to do that. So I thought that was a cool image to kind of like bask among that a little bit. Be kind of like stifled by the immensity of the image.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful comment. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Miss Katie, that you just read?
Oh, that picture does, it just melts you, doesn't it? So beautiful, the the water and the gorgeous color of those leaves. They're leaves from an Acer, I think Japanese Acer, it looks like. I've got one of those. Beautiful. And I thought, I mean, brevities are just wonderful. So much packed into so few words. And you can actually see it early morning October rain. You can feel it and you can imagine it. So done very well. I liked it a lot. Thank you for sharing.
Agree. I just wanted to let you know, I put that note on the board to let everybody know why we didn't have a show last week. But I couldn't stick it above Oak Blue, but his was not red. And I should have told you that ahead of time, but I didn't. I don't want to miss his poem.
I actually thought, while I was, you know, I rush at everything, I actually thought that was what you'd put in for the music, so I just kind of went past it.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess so. I mean, that could be a name of a music group.
Oh, my, so that's fine. I'll stick that in now, you'll pardon the expression.
Okay.
all right, I've got, yeah, I'll leave you to carry on with your comments. Luyu, and I'll get that one done.
No, I commented already. I was just letting you know so we wouldn't miss it. I don't like to miss anybody's poem.
Quite right. Well, I'll just put up what I've got here already then, and then I'll go from there.
Okay, sweetheart.
So hang on, where's my send? Oh, my goodness me. How can you lose send? I mean, it's fundamental to the whole thing. Right? Oh, the gods do not like me. I am cursed, be golly. I'm cursed. Here we are. I'll keep whittering on. Ah, found send. Yay. Wow. Things get so scary. Okay, this is Warm Fingers of Rays by Karen Eisenlord.
That's another beautiful picture.
Zach, would you like to give that a read for us, please?
Sure. Warm Fingers of Race by Karen Eisen Lord. What's the last four? I think that's good. Warm Fingers of Race, caressed by face, as earth quietly turns, rocking my body in a sway of soft memories. It's that pause I awake before the bird songs make this time and place where all stands still. For a brief interval, it stays in a quiet reverie filled. I find my place with hopes and dreams fulfilled. That world between waking and sleeping, where tension resigns to light a sudden beams, and I face a new day with nightmares at bay. This peak time of tranquility I find. And poem.
Oh, that was such a beautiful read. Zach, I really love the imagery in here. I love birds. They just do something to my soul. And I love singing back to them. But also, you know, being near water and having the constellation and the sun rays, especially in the evening, when everything is orange and tangerine and yellow, you just feel as if you're absorbing all those energies. And I thought this was absolutely beautiful, where she even says at their last sentence, the peak of time of tranquility, I find. Congratulations on your front page pick. And Zach, you did a great read. And let's get some comments. What did you think about the poem, Miss Katie?
Oh, yes. I mean, you've got that first line. It sets the whole thing up, doesn't it, so beautifully. Warm fingers of rays and then caress my face. And I can understand that that is about, I mean, that's got to be the best part of anybody's day if you're waking up to warm fingers of rays as opposed to grey, horrible mist, which is what I'm used to. So your day is going to be perfect because nothing at that point has managed to make you miserable. It's just the start of what possibly might be a wonderful day, and I hope it was, because it looks as if it should be. And the bird song, you're right, bird song is beautiful. It's just, it's brief, because they don't seem to stay around for long, but while you've got them in the garden, it's lovely to hear. Although, I don't know if I've said this before, but I heard a bird singing away at 2:30 in the morning. I was waiting for one of the shows to start. Yeah, and he was outside my window and he's twittering away like,
aww.
So cute. I thought, I didn't understand. I've never
heard
that
before. He was just happy you were going to call in and read poetry.
Exactly, you know, that's probably what it is. I'm surprised there isn't more of them. Anyway, beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. And the read was lovely too. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. And Grey Eyes, what did you think of the poem?
Well, I thought it was a great read, Zach, but, you know, I really enjoyed it. It was a lovely poem. You could feel the warmth of the sun illuminating the morning. It's a very tranquil poem. So well done. Congrats on the front page pick.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Frank? And welcome to the show, Francisco.
Hello, everyone.
Other co-host.
Yes.
Hola, hola.
Hello. Hola, hola. ¿Cómo están todos? This is a fantastic write. I really appreciated the whole notion of just feeling, you know, the rays of the sun, and it's something which I could relate to. And I really like the way it's interwoven with nature there, the birds there in particular, and just a tranquil type piece. It's a piece which just appeases you there because you're under the beauty of the sunlight. So I thought you did a fantastic job in that observation.
Agreed. And that was such a lovely comment, Frank. Thank you. And so happy to have you with us tonight.
Yes.
Yeah, our electricity
one
went
thing,
out over
I can
here,
say,
too.
If I can mm-hmm. just say one quick thing. If my phone is slow, I'll let you know if I'm not able to read.
Okay. Now, Katie, you got that?
I sure did. Roger, over
okay.
and out.
And Zach, you did such a beautiful read of Karen's poem. I would love to know what you thought.
I thought it was fantastic. it just like, I'm not much of a morning person, but I kind of like almost wanted to be in this moment. Just to feel the sun's rays kind of rejuvenate your like being really, the early morning sun, different, I guess, than the sun I'm used to. So I thought that the contrast was very nice and you could see the colors and feel it too. So I thought that was very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the warmth. Agreed. Wonderful comment. And we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Oh, cool. Right. We have Umbrellas by Oak Blue 36. And Frank, would you give us the read for us, please?
Oh, yes, it's a brevity. Yes,
oh, cool.
I mean, this one, yeah, when I'm not able to, I will most definitely inform you when I'm not able to. But this poem here is called Umbrellas by Oak Blue 36, and it goes like this. Unarmed, unnamed, unilateral umbrellas, untouched, unveiled, unspoken, unstained, unwarned, unbroken, anonymously, utterly napper UFOs, unfolding, unidentified, unspoiled, umbilical, ultraviolets. End of poem.
You did a beautiful job of reading Oak Blue's poem. Not only did she get a bronze, not only did she get a bronze medal, but she also got a front page pick, and she was using letter U for the challenge for this poem, and I thought this was just fabulous. And what did you think about the poem, Miss Katie?
Well, firstly, it would appear that it's all about yous.
It's all about you.
Right, included there.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry. Oh, dear.
That was funny.
I love it. I do. Yeah, we are. But you know me. Always got my fingers in my ears and my foot in my mouth. This is so clever. I mean, you have to say this has got... I mean, I don't know. An awful lot of work goes into making something so cute and so quick and so light, have some kind of narrative to it using just that the U word. I think that's amazing, and that's somebody who's really a determined person. I decided I'm going to do this, and it was done. Well done, Oak Blue. Beautifully written, and I'm glad it wasn't me that was reading it.
Let's be real there now.
That's because she loves you.
And
yeah.
Also, I've got control.
And
also, I've got control. I control.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Mm-hmm. That is a sexy thing to have, is control. What did you think about this, Gray Eyes?
I thought it was
Gray?
Great. I thought it was great. The alliteration throughout was fantastic, and you did a great job of reading it, Frank.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm sorry I interrupted there. I thought you said Frank, but I got confused with Gray.
No, he didn't. And Zach, what did you think about Blue's poem?
I thought it was really interesting to have a narrative poem kind of based on like totally but you words. Kind of brings to mind like UFO shaped like inverted umbrellas, I guess, and like a UFO invasion, kind of like the X-Files almost with the abductions, and kind of brings to mind like a bunch of paranoia too, like looking over your shoulder kind of thing, or like I guess what's that, Close Encounters of the Third Kind almost. So I thought that was really cool. Just kind of stuff that all in one poem, all that association is really something. I thought it was well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was just crazy. Just, you can understand, even though they're all you, it makes sense. And that's what's fantastic. I wrote one of these for my first time a long time ago, and it is challenging and fun. I agree, Zach. And how about you, Frank? You did a great job in reading it. What's your thoughts?
Yes, I thought the poem was very creative. The alliteration there was very conspicuous. But I thought the whole notion there, the UFOs too, came up to me, popped in my mind. But perhaps the shape there of the umbrella was a reference there to the UFOs. I thought you did a fantastic job there with just not that many words, although they are words of the same, in the same letter. But it was quite creative of, and really just made me thought about umbrellas there.
Agreed. And we are ready for our next poem.
Okay.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Oh,
we're all so polite. I love all the politeness. I'm bowing my head. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. So cool. It's not, hey, it's over to you. We don't do that. We're nice. Okay. This is Fall by Marius Alexandru and Gray. Would you give this a read for us, please?
Sure, I'd love to. Okay, so we have Fall by Marius Alexandru. Being cold, the earth burrows the leaves from trees to cover itself for a while until the snow appears and will change its blanket and poem.
Oh, my goodness. You did a fabulous job in reading this. I really loved the way his imagery, you could see it. Being cold, earth burrows the leaves from the trees. And I'm going to reread it because it's just short. To cover itself for a while until snow appears and it will change its blankets. You know, isn't that fabulous imagery? Just thinking of a snow-white quilt and then in the spring, a green emerald quilt comes up. I thought this was fabulously written and just an absolutely beautiful Verity Marius. And I am tongue-twisting tonight for some reason, so please excuse, and I have not been drinking.
we wouldn't suspect that.
You know, I do have Irish blood, right?
Oh, there you go.
Gray, you did a beautiful job in reading this. And I really love this brevity by Marius. What did you think, Miss Katie?
Sorry, I lost my mute. Yes, it was. I mean, the concept. How clever is this concept? I thought that must have just popped into his mind. Is that his? Yes. Being cold, the earth borrows the leaves from the trees. That's just lovely. You know, personifying the whole thing, but it's still so clever. Who would have thought that? Borrowing the leaves from the trees to cover himself or itself for a while. Yeah, very, very clever. It's one of those ones you wish that you had written, you know, that, oh, I wish I'd thought of that. So cool. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It was a delight.
Agreed. Thank you. And what did you think, Zach?
I thought it was fantastic. It just, described the routine job of changing of the seasons. It always seemed like folding laundry because it was like routine in a way, but in a beautiful way. I don't need to like amount it to folding laundry. It just seems like it's just routine in that regard because it happens every year, and it's written in such a short sort of like declarative way and folding in such like a storybook fashion, which is with a lovely set of images. So I really thought that was well done.
Agreed. Wonderful comment. And how about you, Frank?
Yes, you know, this is the first brevity I've heard of actually read from Marius. But we know what I like. It was the essence of the poem itself. You know, it reflects on the changing of seasons, but it also gives us that true identity of who we are at times, of what we seek for in Mother Nature. And in that regard, I thought he did a fantastic job, and I really enjoyed the beginning to the end of the poem.
Agreed. Thank you. Wonderful comment. And Gray, you did a wonderful job in reading it. What did you think?
I enjoyed the personification of nature, you know, wrapping itself in blankets of leaves and blankets of snow. And, you know, I just want to pile them up and jump in them personally. So I'm a bad actor. But, yeah, it was wonderful for Emily. Pleasure to read it.
Thank you, Gray. And believe it or not, we're ready for our next poem.
Well, hush your mouth.
Can it keep you on your toes tonight?
Yes, well, it's there, isn't it? Yeah. I'm enjoying this because I'm not getting flustered, so I can go backwards and forwards quite easily, which makes such a difference. So this is Born on the River by Richard Weissman, and I do believe there's a SoundCloud for this.
Mm-hmm.
Born on the River by Richard Weissman. Our people were born on this river. We guessed how far back by our plain-sounding name. Mama laid our grandparents out back by the saw palmettos. Each summer sun bleached our rooftop ever paler. Every rainy season beat its heavy hand down on us. Slowly, the winter people built their getaway palaces where oranges used to blossom. But for us, their cell towers and speedboats stunk like carrion till one rainy day our river gave up her dead. So we moved west like the Seminole before us, spitting citrus pits like summery promises all along the way. End of poem.
You know, this touches me deeply. I really love this poem by Richard. He says, in the 1830s, the United States military drove the Seminole along with other southeastern tribes from their homes west on what became known as the Trail of Tears, which is my family lineage. You know, it's just amazing to me how people can invade somebody else's country and take the people, the land, and the resources just because you are considered a savage. You know, and this is deeply painful. And, you know, this is, you know, that land was used to hunt on, build homes on, have families. And now what's left is, you know, they've dug it all up. The plantation is no longer there. The plant, the environment to put cell towers and speedboats to just pollute the land because they have not learned still to this day, sadly, how to live with Mother Earth. Wonderful poem, Richard. Beautifully penned. Congratulations on your front page pick and on your well-deserved gold medal. The injustices people have to put up with is just terrible. Miss Katie, what did you think of Richard's poem?
I thought that this was something, again, it's a feeling that these things have to be said, you know, have to be brought forward and remind people of things that have happened so that these things don't happen as easily again. I mean, Scotland has been overrun by quite a few people. Unfortunately, I didn't get the Nordic look. I got the little squat Celtic look. I would love to have been called blonde, but it did not happen. But yes, so I can understand exactly how that, you know, it's your life, it's your land, and yeah, it's always sad. And as you say, it should never happen. I don't know what this power thing is at all. I never understood this need to subjugate other people, but there we go. Very well done, Richard. A great read. Richard's voice always surprises me. I don't know why, but it's, you know, it's got such a timbre to it. It's got a musical depth to it that I really enjoy. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. Excellent comment. How about you, Grant?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a well-written poem, but the subject matter is definitely harsh, you know, being forced from your land and having that taken from you is just so sad. You know, my people fled from the United States to Canada because of this type of situation. So, but I'm grateful that Canada allowed us to stay and, you know, claim land here. So, yeah. Excellent writing and a fabulous read.
Thank you, Greg. And Zach, I'd like to know what you thought of Richard's poem.
I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was interesting kind of leading off at the rain image, kind of like beating down upon the landscape. I liked especially bleaching the rooftops, like just to think about how much rain that would take to really do something that destructive. And I guess like on the lines of that destructive, you have like the rain kind of like doing that to the landscape, much like I guess the settlers were doing that to the landscape, like kind of just building with the buildings and the speedboats and the cell phone towers and just really quite a perversion of that landscape. And it speaks many historical truths, and it just brought to mind a lot of that history that's a bit of a stain on the consciousness of America. But I thought it was really well written.
Agreed. Excellent comment. And Frank, I'd like to know what you thought.
Well, yeah. Well, this is a subject in itself that I'm somewhat familiarized with, the Trail of Tears. And I, of course, feel pain for all those who had to suffer this. The poem itself really did capture the essence of the painting. And it's one thing I appreciate of poetry, tried to do in my beginning, which was actually inspired by a portrait or a painting itself. I think Richard did a fantastic job. He chose a fantastic topic to emphasize and really grasp the reader with the not only pain, but the way of life, more particularly the history of these people here and how they were very much, I would say, they were born on this river, part of the river, and they were the maker of this river. So I thought he did a fantastic job on that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you, Frank. Wonderful comment. And now we're back to you, Miss Katie.
Okay. And now we have Deer Calf by Sky Joe. And that, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. All right, there we go. Sorry. Yes. Deer Calf by Sky Joe. Beneath shadeless pine nests the deer calf, jumble of knobby limbs, fiercely angular, eyes all moonshot, and milk-white pallors. Burnished sunset creeps west and under the canopy, and a week the calf might fear, now sick with faith or incurious, and taken with the moon, poured like cream from green needle china. Alcohol brings shadow, excising. Tattered daylight, the sky had shorn open, cracked like an egg, and spilled to earth to the deer calf laid on brown-green mosses. So many stars mirrored in clear water eyes, scattered like quartz splinters on dead and rotting wood. End poem.
And did a fantastic read on Sky Joe's poem. You know, I really loved his imagery. You just felt as if you were in the forest. You know, burnished sunset creeps west under the canopy. In a week, the calf might fear, now sick with faith or incurious and taken with the moon, poured like cream from green needle china. God, did this fantastic imagery in here. This was just wonderful. I loved how he, his technique, you know, is just fabulous. What did you think, Miss Katie? And congratulations on your front page six, Sky Joe.
Yes. I mean, this ability to paint pictures with words, giving you a snapshot in your brain, it's so clever. It takes obviously an awful lot of work. It's not an easy thing. It doesn't just come, but it's well worth it because you have these wonderful images. I love the last stanzas always. So many stars mirrored in clear water eyes, scattered like quartz splinters on dead and rotting wood. And that is it. That is you. That is the whole thing. Birth to death, from light to dark, and from alive to rotting wood. Perfect. I just enjoyed every single line. It was so good. So thank you very much, Sky Joe. It was impressive.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And thank you, Miss Katie. And what did you think, Gray Eyes?
Yeah, I thought it was a beautiful painting, you know, a word portrait of a forest scene. You know, it was just naturally done, so it didn't feel cliche at all, and I thought it was beautiful, so well done.
Thank you, Greg. Excellent comment. And how about
you,
Frank?
Great read,
Jack. Yes, I thought the same thing. I mean, echo the same thing that's been said, in particular by Greg. I thought I liked the personification of the forest here, and I think the metaphors were idealistically striking. They were very, very impressive. They're very creative, but he did a fantastic job of just demonstrating to us what life is and what can be in the midst of a forest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Frank. And Zach, you did a fabulous job in reading Sky Joe's poem. I'd like to know what your thoughts are.
I was struck by there was such like a gritty realism to the piece throughout like nature at its toughest. It reminded me of Bambi, but tougher than that. Like kind of like the real deal.
Yeah.
For sure. Like the Revenant, more like. Just kind of vicious and wild, like it's supposed to be. And yeah, I just thought that it was natural and it just and primal and really well done.
Agreed. Thank you. And we are ready for another front page pick. Oh. Okay. Oh boy. I'm looking forward to this.
Right, okay. This one is a collaboration between our very own Zach and Arcana Armour, and it's Blood Brethren. And there is a SoundCloud, Gray, if you could get that for us, please.
Distant howls shatter the frigid air. Night weaves its sable tapestry. Glowing stairs pierce the pervasive pitch. As darkness cascades its sea of shade. A fat silver moon hangs above, grey eye, winking, sinking behind the cathedral's central spire. Wisps of smoke rise in the graveyard. Savage creatures stir in search of prey. Leathery wings soar the charcoal sky, silently gliding on zephyrs of whispers, descending to sate their voracious thirst. A series of snouts break the haze. Long hind legs and padded feet tread noiseless. Darker shades than the grey of smoke pass opaque, dispersing the fog. Fangs sink deep in floods of crimson, gently lapping the quintessence of light. Engulfing their quarry in fluid cloaks, drowning their screams in waves of death. Elongated mongrels emerge, their muzzles and hackles too long. Heavy pads descend on the soil, drool dripping from dipping canines. Tongues slavering out, tasting the air. Bats transform into alluring facades, swallowed in black from head to toe, hunting beside their brethren of night, each in pursuit of a lethal endeavor. Searching for the Undertaker, yellow lantern eyes shine on, reflecting off all tombstone hollows. Ancestors shine in deep calligraphy. Slain by the local fanged bastards. Accursed are they who fall to their bite, swelling the ranks of clandestine covens. Damned by daylight and slaves to the moon, their humanity departs as mortality fades. Long hollow needles suck the departed dry. The heavy thud and scrape of a shovel is heard striking the hard earth nearby, slamming the blade head into frozen earth until a clawed hand breaks the surface. Just a young man bitten, torn, of pallid complexion. They buried him. Now he is risen!
Oh my God, that was so good. Oh, the imagery in here. You know, he brings to life your words, Zach, both you and his words. And the imagery in here just is something that the night creatures just love. Where I really like this one stanza because it, you know, it just talked about how, oh my goodness, I'm gonna let somebody else comment while I look for it. This is so good. Katie, what did you think?
Oh, yes. I mean, there's so much put into that. So good. The words were, I mean, obviously the whole thing would be nothing without the words. And it just lent itself to that dramatic portrayal. And I really enjoyed it. Obviously, the SoundCloud was pretty damn good. I liked it a lot. But yes, it was very creepy. And the title alone the title alone caught me, Blood Brethren. Those are the kind of people you wouldn't be inviting around for Sunday lunch, for sure. Please come along and meet my aunt. Yeah, very good. As ever, you would expect no less from a SoundCloud that Arcana is involved in. And the words were fabulous. They really, they spoke of grey smoke and spooky stuff, which I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing.
Yes. The love of vampires and werewolves, a series of snouts break the haze, long hind legs and padded feet tread noiseless, darker shades than the gray of smoke, pass oblique, dispersing the fog. I have it. And then the next stanza, fangs. And just makes your mouth water. Fangs sink deep in the floods of crimson, gently lapping the quintessence of life, engulfing the quarry in flood cloaks, drowning their screams in waves of death. But it's also not just that. Sometimes it is erotic when you are bitten. This was just delicious. I loved it, Zach. Congratulations to both of you. I just can't get enough. I really can't get enough of both of your collaborations. Great.
Thank you.
What did you think?
Yeah, this is masterful. You know, the read is a perfect a peek amount to the right. You know, it really brings the right to life. You know, it definitely plays in your head, all these images of, you know, that you've got bats transform into alluring facades, swallowed in black from head to toe, hunting beside their brethren of the night, each in pursuit of a lethal endeavor. You know, what if there's only one victim? Do you share that? Or just care? yeah, I feel sorry for that sucker anyway. No, but it was a fantastic write and an excellent read. So thank you for sharing, Zach and Arcana.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Gray Eyes. And what did you think, Frank?
I thought, first of all, it was a wonderful, wonderful sum. I thought it was a wonderful, wonderful collaboration as well. This was just, I agree with you. It was dark. It was, it had the overtones of just the macabre, but at the same time, just the imagery. The imagery of this poem was very striking. I was very much, I found it riveting. I found I was just gravitated to the imagery. I mean, some of the words they used as well were very much very creative, and I have to tip my hat off as an actor, not only to Arcana for the performance, but also to his partner here, Harmo, Neurotica, Zach. I have to give him credit as well, because he did a fantastic job with just the metaphor itself, just made this piece a brilliant piece.
It comes alive. And Zach, would you like to make a comment about this? Your poem that collab that you both did?
Yeah, this is just part one. And I guess so far there's 5 parts, and there's probably going to be 7 parts, I have to say.
Oh,
And so do I get number 2 for next Monday?
Absolutely. Whichever one we have lined up, for sure. We're working on the climax right now. It's I can't wait to get on that. It's going to be great. You're going to love it.
I love it already. Oh, thank you. I so deeply appreciate the both of you to allow me to have us read your poetry and listen to it. And you both are just beautiful, dark poets. Oh, congratulations. It's wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Miss Katie, we are back to you.
All right. Here we are then. We have Love, Do You Know by Hatch. And Luyu, do you feel up to reading this?
Yes, I will do my best.
Okay.
Love, Do You Know by Hatch. The left hand of darkness grabbed my shoulder. I stumbled and demolished a house of leaves. Poor hedgehog. A scent of magic has left with autumn. Now the old hollow birch weeps with leaves in the shadow of the wind. In the gardens of the moon where we danced, on the wind's 12 quarters tango, with the slow regard of silent things, locked under my chest as if memories of ice, when melting, drop by drop, my salty pearls from eyes, when dripping drew the alphabet of light and dark into the mud. I put my panic in a suitcase, dug grave and buried deep. Now I am ready to bend, but not break. End poem. Oh, what a fabulous poem by Hatch. What did you think of this poem, Miss Katie?
This is wonderful. This is so well done. Is it slightly different from what she normally does? I don't know. I haven't read it much lately from her, but I think this is great. What a fabulous concept. The left hand of darkness grabbed my shoulder, and I stumbled and demolished the house of leaves. Oh, dear, it's perfect. And then that last stanza, I thought, again, incredibly clever. And I do like cleverness. It's not a mundane kind of poem. It's got a lot in it that you can really enjoy. But that last stanza, I put my panic in a suitcase, dug grave and buried deep, now I'm ready to bend but not break. Fabulous. I mean, that is exactly what you want to be able to do. You handle it, you understand it, you stick it in a suitcase, you get rid of it, and then you carry on. That means that you're not broken. You are strong. So, yeah, brilliantly done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Hats.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful comment. Thank you. And what did you think about the poem, Graham?
I thought you did a wonderful read on it. But, you know, I enjoyed the write. It has such amazing imagery, and you can feel the emotion in it. You know, I put my panic in a suitcase, dug grave, and buried it deep. Now I'm ready to bend. Not great. Fantastic.
Great. Thank you, Gray. And what did you think about the poem, Zach?
It was fantastic. I just loved how the phantom hand, it started with, like, very dark, I thought. The left-handed darkness grabbing the shoulder and then kind of, like, almost shoving the speaker into the hedgehog abode and kind of just disintegrating the leaves. So I'm kind of wondering what that was all about, just like this phantom hand. Anyway, and it brings to mind, like, the resilience of nature later on when the branches refuse to break. And it's personified the pressure of like memories, I guess, and holding that all in. It's kind of like difficult to do that, and it's kind of released in a cathartic kind of like a dance, I guess, in nature. And so that was a very like striking sort of image, series of images.
Mm-hmm. Great, excellent comment. Thank you, Zach. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, first of all, I have to say, I have to echo what Gray said. The way you read it, you really just put the words in descriptive fashion here. It was very emotive, the poem itself. You know, it mm-hmm. really reflects on the relationship itself, you know, in the circumstances of one. And how we combat as well the negative throughout the relationship. And I really like the essence there of the gardens of the moon, where we aren't. You know, we try to reflect on positive things, but when we have a relationship at times that have negative things, it's difficult. But I really like the fact that she pronounced in those last two, in the last stanza there, I'm ready to bend, not to break. I think that was very epitomized what she was trying to say in this poem.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. You know, congratulations to her. She got a bronze medal. She had to write a poem picking a title. And, you know, I really love the title that she picked. You know, sometimes for me, when I was reading this, it felt as if the person I'm in love with has disappointed me and knocked me down, you know. And sometimes, you know, when we get knocked down, you know, because she talks about how she's looking at the gardens of the moon, you know, where she had danced with this person that she loves so much. And, you know, she talks about, you know, how these memories hurt her so much. She feels as if she's frozen, you know, that lump you get in your chest. And then the beautiful salty pearls, the tears that, you know, that she's dropping, you know, the words that she couldn't say, that she did say, that she wrote, you know, it just turned to nothing, you know. And then, you know, like she did in her last stanza for me was, you know, sometimes, you know, like all of you have brought out, you have to pack those memories away because there's nothing you can do about them. And then, you know, sometimes maybe we found within ourselves that maybe we were too strict, or maybe we weren't strict enough on ourselves, and we have to learn to bend, but never to have someone break us and knock us down to where we're on the knees crying in deep sorrow. This was just beautiful, Hats. I really loved it. And we are ready for our next poem.
Let's build the suspense. No, we won't. We've got... Oh, dear. Exit stage left. That's for you, Frank. I want the real thing. I want the real thing by S Sharp. And there's a SoundCloud for this. Gray, if you could please get that up for us.
I want the real thing. Words flow through bioengineered veins, circulate blood pumped by the incessant hum of my iron lung. Tapping rhythms with my prosthetic arm, my heartless pacemaker pushes thought and hemoglobin into the dialysis machine. I kick my prosthetic legs up on a nearby desk. My glass eye spies blind truth as I sink my wooden teeth into writing this poem. Turning down my hearing aid, I concentrate, use my own real intelligence and a glass of wine, which my 3D printed liver sucks up quicker than an AI poem is produced, and I bring this bitch home.
Fabulous SoundCloud and poem, and he says this was not generated by AI, which I noticed that that's been happening a lot lately, and I prefer the voice of the poet himself. You know, I was just reading one of the comments in here. T. Ing Poem says, I imagine you just like that. No photograph will convince me otherwise. Sorry to hear about the wooden teeth. Touch, you should have found a regular dentist. Cool poem, bionic bitch of truth here. And Scott answered him and says, it's okay. I grind my teeth and make my own toothpicks. Oh, what a fabulous sense of humor. What a comeback. Thank you, Scott. This was just fabulous. What did you think about the poem, Miss Katie?
Yes, fabulous is the word. That is so cool. And that was a lovely comeback to clever boy, man. I don't know why I say boy. Ah, dear. That is patronizing. I do apologize. It's my vast age that makes me do that. It's not my fault. Okay, I want the real thing. I thought it was very, very clever. Again, we're working on the premise that things will change in the future, that... Yeah, even though the iron lung was a great, great invention in its time for people who needed it, everything goes out and other things come in. But it doesn't necessarily mean we have to lose our humanity. So half of me is scared of what the future might be, and the other half of me is so damn glad I won't be here to see it. So wonderfully done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Miss Katie. And Gray Eyes, what did you think of Scott Sharp's poem?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I have a lot of favorites from Scott, but this is definitely my newest favorite. I really like the play on the modern situation life is right now. It's absolutely fantastic. I really enjoyed the play on, you know, the medical situations of life right now.
Mm-hmm.
He did a wonderful read on the SoundCloud as well.
Yes, he did. Thank you. And Zach, what did you think of Scott's poem?
That was fantastic. Just like kind of grotesque in a way, just like a body made completely out of artificial like metal and wood and stripped of all their humanity because of like this like mechanization of their body. Makes me think where all those parts went to, and like where, and like, it's just grotesque and kind of like a more kind of like almost like Pinocchio in a way, with the title, I Want the Real Thing. And there's like a kind of like a daredevil confidence at the end of it, with the bringing that bitch home. So, I mean, I guess he found something at the end to, that felt real. So real enough anyway. So I thought that was really cool.
Agreed. Excellent comment. How about you, Frank?
Well, you know, as a humanist, I can somewhat understand the critique here, and more importantly, I can understand what he's trying to say in this poem here. It's a very direful situation to imagine that we are reduced, is what Katie was saying, reduced to such a profound state of being where you're rendered lifeless almost. But I thought he did, the whole title itself, I Want the Real Thing, is basically, I think everyone aspires to have something that's it's credible, something that we can, not be dependent on. So I think he did a fantastic job. And as far as the old poem is, I've never really done one of those, but I've heard of it. But it was a very clever piece as well.
Yeah, it was. And that's one of the things, a lot of us are, like I was reading what Jeremy Eppy said, with all these aches and pains, I'm ready to sign up for some replacement parts myself. This brings up some really cool conversation about the definition of self. When living ends and the matrix takes over, the AI stuff is a scary horizon. Poetry can be the arrow in the quiver to keep us all human. Dig this one, Scott. And I do. I believe poetry is something that reveals the things of the heart and soul and thoughts. So that's just my opinion. Nothing wrong with getting replacement parts. We're all going to need it one day or another. Okay, we're ready for our next poem.
Okay, and we have Not Even Weeds. Oh, come on, it's not going. Oh, there we are. Not Even Weeds by Jack. Have we had this one already? No? No.
I don't think so.
No, it just rang a little bell in my... Ah, cool. Okay, then we have...
No, we haven't.
Thank you. My brain, you need to keep me on an even keel. Not Even Weeds by Jack Tonkovic. And Frank, would you read this for us, please?
Oh, it'd be my pleasure here. Yeah, this is by Jack Tonkovic. It's called Not Even Weeds, and it goes like this. Glass shards cut and slash. We bleed rivers of ash. This shiver with shame. Red crops of drops. Fall scarlet rain. Upon the grey asphalt where no plants grow, we scream life is gold and diamonds, sapphires and pearls, pretty boys and handsome girls, birthdays and Christmas chocolate ice cream, no bugs or insects, worms or centipedes, not even weeds. End of poem.
Oh, what a fabulous read. I really enjoy Jack's poetry. What did you think about what Jack was saying here? Miss Katie.
Oh yes, this was I love what he's got in the AN. A man after my own heart. Oh, just a light-hearted fun poem. Yep, sure was. I like it. I like it a lot. I mean, the imagery is quite scary. I can see myself walking down a dark corridor with glass shards coming at me and wrists of it slashed and drops of rain are scarlet because it's your blood and ay, 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 ay. It's it's powerful. It really is. I love, again, that last line, not even weeds. I mean, you can hear the disgust in the tone of it. You can even hear it even though you're only reading it. I thought it was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing, Jack.
Thank you. This just reminds me of so much what we see going on today, especially on, like Facebook and Twitter and all those sites that people go on, where everybody just judges you. They just, to me, this just cuts you to pieces. And the only thing that's, fabulous on there is, how big is your yacht? How big is your house? How big is your diamond ring? And all the, nothing that there's wrong with traveling around the world. But, to me, traveling around the world is to see the world, not to, it's not bragging rights, to enjoy life, where everything is, pretty boys, handsome girls, where you're judged by your looks instead of your intelligence and, being a good soul. So I really think, society has really fallen away from values that really mattered the most when we were growing up. At least that's what I got out of it. And I could be wrong, but that's just what I got out of it. What did you think, Ray?
I liked it. You know, it was definitely a take on modern life and the way it's being lived. Not even weeds can grow, you know, because everything's so pretty. And I thought it was just a powerful statement on modern man. A great read as well, thank you.
Excellent comment. And what did you think, Zach?
It was fantastic. It was just a kind of a sobering piece about the state of mankind, kind of just, I guess, in a way, just doing itself in, and this is the result. And especially just like a charnel pit full of ash, just watered by blood for rain, I guess, and kind of like quite a hellscape where nothing grows, not even weeds. So that's just kind of ominous and doom-laden. It might be where we're headed. Who knows? Really well written.
Agreed. And, Frank, you did a fabulous job in reading this. I would like to know what you thought.
Yes. No, you know, I'm going to have to share your opinion as well. You know, I do remember a time where technology was much more simpler, where we didn't have to be exposed to too much of what is exposed nowadays. You know, and I have a phone call, but I try not to be too attached to it. Because, you know, you do miss the essence of reality at times. I think this poem just reflects on the pure state of what somewhat we've been rendered to as society in particular.
Excellent comment. Thank you. And we're ready for our next poem.
All righty. Here we are then. The next one we have is... Dear Your Honor, by the writer C. And I will read this one. If it opens, oh, there we are, great. So the writer C, Dear Your Honor. Please send out an APB because my love is at large. Count one, count two, I'm guilty as charged. I don't want to be free. Take a look at Exhibit A through C. There's overwhelming evidence all against me. Exhibit A, this is my shirt that she wore. Exhibit B, these are her panties that hit the floor. Exhibit C is the love letter she wrote to me. Dear Your Honor, accept my plea. I am in love. I don't want to be free. Evidence, my fingerprints were found all over her home, and photos of me were saved in her Galaxy phone. Surveillance spotted us inside Bob's Cafe, 90 miles east of L.A. Dear Your Honor, accept my plea. I am in love. I don't want to be free. No need to appeal. My love is for real. If she had another, I would have to steal. Dear Your Honor, I'll take it to trial. Please accept my plea. Whatever you do, don't let me go free. If I say I don't love her, arrest me on perjury. By Curtis Turner, Jr. End poem.
Oh, wow. That was just fabulous. I really enjoyed it. I see that he has won several medals. He won a bronze, an HM, an HM, an HM, and another HM on this poem, and another HM. Wow. So, you know, it's fabulous, and he is deserving of all these medals. I really enjoyed this poem of him, you know, proving in a court of law that he was hook, line, and sinkered in love with this woman. This was thoroughly enjoyable, and I really enjoyed hearing you read it, Katie. I could hear you smiling while you were reading it. So let's give some comments. What did you think?
You can imagine her as a judge there.
Good eyes.
I thought it was great. You know, I like the whole courtroom scene where, you know, he's giving his testimony of his love for her. And, you know, I'm in love with her. I don't want to be free. No need to appeal. My love for her is real. If she had another, I would have to steal. Dear Your Honor, I'll take it to trial. Please accept my plea. Whatever you do, don't let me go free. If I say I don't love her, arrest me on perjury. Just a fantastic poem. And congratulations on the front page pick and a great read, too.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to know what you thought about this poem, Zach. Fabulous
poem. I thought thought it was a really clever way to frame one's affection or love for another, just through a series of court procedures. I mean, in practice, it sounds, I don't want to say it's a very exciting concept. It's really cool. It's just that court normally bores me, but this doesn't bore me at all. It's just like very exciting stuff. And just like, I don't know, it's just the evidence and very clearly states that that it's there and it's real. And guilty as charged. I really love that. It's a great concept and very well done.
Thank you, Zach. And what did you think, Frank?
Well, you know, I agree what's been said, in particular what Zach was referring to. I really like the notion here of just being someone who's not only devoted, make that. I really just like the nature of the poem. Although it's a creative, it's witty, it has its sense of expression, yes, self-expression. But I like the bold nature of the poem as well, of the peculiarity of the poet to use this type of atmosphere to confess his love.
Agreed. Wonderful comment. And Miss Katie, you did a beautiful job in reading the writer C's poem. I would like to know what you thought of his verdict.
Oh, I thought it was so clever. I love anything that's a little bit different, and I do love humor, obviously. But this is just perfect. I mean, you go from exhibits A to C. A, this is my shirt that she wore. And this is what I was not expecting. Exhibit B. Those her panties that hit the floor. Okay, so.
What stuff have you said and not I, eh?
I was blushing. I was wondering what was coming next. But luckily, we had
there
a love letter. Yeah, so that was cool. No, I just, you know me, my sense of humor is ridiculous anyway. So this really made me giggle. I just loved it. It's just so perfect. You've got the evidence. You've got the surveillance spotting them in a cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying, look, basically, my dearest love, I never want to leave you, and I don't ever want to be free of you. And I just thought it was so cleverly done. Well done.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for sharing, definitely.
And I thought it was clever, too. Thank you. So now we are ready for our next poem.
And now we have, now I'm not very sure who this person is. I don't think I've heard of them before. The Spring Shade by... I could be an actor. No, I couldn't. Okay, we have Spring Shade. I'm trying to be serious and it doesn't work. I'm so sorry. The Spring Shade. I am so enjoying myself. All right, this is The Spring Shade by our own dear Frank. And we have a SoundCloud Grey, if you would be so kind.
Petals of a spring tide, carnation blossoming. You dance so gracefully like a ballerina upon the morning zephyr, blowing upon the glossy texture of the caressive fibers of your hair, as your eyes enrapture me with a sparkling gleam of redundancy. The sun shines upon your skin, its autumn rays over motley butterflies. Your scent is like the fresh fragrance of an odoriferous perfume I smell. I listen to the sweet hymns of the celestial choir of nightingales, serenading me with the dulcet tone of their sonnets of harmonies. You roam within the maze of the kaleidoscopic realm of light, the illumination of the awakened dawn with its floral seduction, and your tenderness is like a blanket of fine strands of gossamers. I am mesmerized by the incantation of your sublime beauty revealed. The touch of your fingers is the gentle feather of my healing. I want to lay in the bosom of your flowery buds awaiting, like a dream in an animated garden of twinkling radiance. I sleep till the night has slumbered into the spring shade of our love. Respiro tu nombre con mis susurros, eres la cara de la primavera naciente. I breathe your name with my whispers. You are the face of the nascent spring. Oh, I breathe your name with my whispers. You are the face of the nascent spring. In the pump.
Oh, Frank, that was beautiful as it was magical. The softness of your voice just sounds like a breeze. It's just so lovely and soft. You know, I always love how you end your poems. I breathe your name with my whispers. You are the face of an essence. Spring, you know, and then I also loved this, you know, part where you said, the touch of your fingers is a gentle feather of my healing. Oh, that's just so gorgeous. Everyone, you roam within the maze of a kaleidoscope realm of light, the illumination of the awakened dawn with its floral seduction. And your tenderness is like the blanket of fine strands of gossamer. I am mesmerized by the incantation of your sunlight beauty revealed. This is just gorgeous. Oh, breathtaking. Beautiful, Frank.
Well, you know, I did say tonight I wouldn't scare. I'd bring different type of shiver tonight. I did say that to you.
Oh, that was just beautiful. And let me tell you are one of my favorite dark poets, as is Zach and Arcana. Oh, my goodness. And Miss Katie, what did you think of this beautiful poem? You're welcome. This beautiful poem by Francisco.
I think you may have to give me a moment. Beautiful. Oh, I love this. I really love this, Frank. From the very beginning, I just thought it was beautiful. My favorite part, the tiny little part of the whole, but for me, it was just supreme. You dance so gracefully like a ballerina upon the morning zephyr. I mean, that's lovely. That's so lovely.
Mm-hmm.
You quoted an awful lot of the things that I've been thinking of as well, Lou. You were so correct in picking those because they were all beautiful. And yes, it was nice to have a shiver that wasn't, you know, ripping my earphones off my ears as you laugh at me.
Well, you know, I'm multiverse there as an actor, you know, I can range mm-hmm. from different types of shivers there, Weaver. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you certainly can, my dear. And this time you hit the spot. Sounds terrible. But it was wonderful. I don't know who said that.
My mind is not in the right place today. Oh no.
Be the butterfly.
Grail, what did you think of Frank's poem?
I really enjoyed it. I gave it a silver in my contest, which is, not easy to do. it was a fantastic rate. You know, his read was spot on. But you roam within the maze of a kaleidoscopic realm of light. The illumination of the awakened dawn with its floral seduction and your tenderness is like the blanket of fine strands of gossamer. I am mesmerized by the incantation of your sublime beauty revealed. Such a powerful poem, Mr. Roman.
Agreed.
I appreciate
and
that.
Congratulations.
Thank you for the silver on that. I did forget to mention that. Thank you a lot on that. Great. Yeah. I do appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And our next poet to comment is Zach.
Yeah, Frank, it was awesome. I particularly liked the intonation of your voice, especially. It reminded me of the old Ricky Ticky Tavi cartoon, a different kind of chill with the cobras. It brought like a little bit like that, but like just kind of a little bit more different. I felt a little bit more secure and safe, as it were, especially with the vowel sounds throughout, lots of euphony. And lots of A's and lots of E's, especially throughout, and it kind of like syncopated really nicely with the bells in the background. So I thought that was really cool.
Well, I appreciate that. That was my natural serious voice there. So when I'm not doing all the voices there, that is my natural serious voice, I would say.
It just sounded like a little bit. I don't know, like a little bit. A little bit like a theatrical tone, I guess.
What? Was it because I was a bit serious there?
I don't know. Nah.
Maybe,
yeah. I don't know.
It's just the softness, you know.
Yes,
I guess
that's
for
thing,
men
yeah.
hear it differently than women. You know, just the poem was like, for me, like it's like a light breeze that tickles the hair on the back of your neck and, you know, just swirls around your face. It's just it's like almost being tized. Yeah. Thank you, Zach. And would you like to say anything about
that,
the poem, Frank?
Very much. No, I'll be brief of what I said. This is inspired here by a prompt here, and I took nature to inspire me in spring as well, and this was just said, it is a romantic poem, but it was really, and what I tried to do is bring the elements of nature with our human nature and romance as well. So that's what essentially the poem is inspired by. And I did tell you I would do a different type of poem tonight, so I did dedicate this to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Corazon.
You're welcome.
Okay. We are now ready for our next poem. What a bunch of fabulous poetry tonight.
Oh, wonderful. It's been such a great evening so far.
Before you assign somebody, I wanted to let you know we have so much poetry that if I do not, Katie and I do not get to it tonight, we will put it at the beginning of the open poetry so that we will make sure that you get read right away next week. So please, we only have 2 hours. And 2 hours does not go very far with this amazing poetry. Okay, back to you, Miss Katie.
Thank you, my darling. And this one is To Be a Child Again by Mr. Donnelly. Oh. Hello, Mr. Donnelly. Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure, you betcha. Okay, so we have Ode to Be a Child Again with No Worries by MJ Donnelly. Have you ever really watched children play? They're quite unassuming, without prejudice. They emulate us, so take care what you say. Around character actors with emphasis. Modern society could learn a great deal from the unfettered joy that young ones oft lose. Unabridged, pure of heart, with a poet's zeal. I recall, as a child, playing duck, duck, goose with unbridled laughter, with grass stains on knees, with no worries about what tomorrow brings. Red-faced in July, just enjoying the breeze, we sighed with content, soaring with eagle's wings. Tongue out in December, tasting snow flurries. Oh, to be a child again, with no worries, end poem.
Well, I've got to say, Gray Eyes took this poem to heart because he sent me pictures of him eating snowflakes last year.
Oh, wow.
Gray?
Yeah.
You know what? I love the way you read this because, you know, I think poets tend to be children at heart. We still play with each other. We still joke. We still write poetry for that, not only as an adult, but, you know, our childhood dreams. You know, I think it's so sad because children don't hold grudges. They don't know anything about prejudices. They love people just the way they are. And, you know, I think when you suffocate the child, you're not happy as an adult. You know, and he talks about these, to be a child again with no worries. Yeah, we do have worries because we're adults. But we can still allow the young one to be loose, to skip rocks, ride a bike, go outside and watch the meteors, you know, fall down during storms. You know, I wish, you know, I had a better childhood, but not all of it was bad. And what I do have is something that I cherish. And of course, you know, we all have to grow up, but we don't have to let the enjoyment of being childlike, not being a child, being childlike in some sense. I really enjoyed this poem by M.J. Donnelly. And, you know, this is something that, you know, we can all think about. What did you think? And you did such a great read, Gray. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, that was a great read, definitely. And funnily enough, we were talking about this last night, Gray and Daniel and I, about the child within. And I also said hello, Mr. Donnelly, yesterday as well. I think it's become a habit. but, yeah, I was saying, and all of us were saying, I always thought that everybody had that little glow, that little place inside you could go to, and you get that sudden feeling of joy. It's there. It's the child within. And I always thought everybody else had that, and then I realized, no, they don't. It's just me that's a lunatic, which is fine. I can, you know, I can have one of those.
I don't think you're a lunatic.
I could have one of those, you know, hug yourself jackets.
Mm-hmm. Hug a tree.
Yeah, definitely hug a tree. I thought this was brilliant. It was so clever. And yeah, you know, the thing that makes me so worried is when you see an adult's eyes in a child's face, where the child, you know, mm-hmm. has learned far more than they should have at their age, and far too much. Yeah, when I had much younger children and I had friends around, my children went off to play, you know, in the garden or upstairs in the bedroom or whatever. I didn't want them hearing the kind of things that the adults were talking about. They didn't need to. And it meant that you could be unbridled and not worry about, you know, polluting a poor child's mind. But yeah, so I kind of always wanted to nurture that in my children, that they had a proper childhood. So I can see this. Mr. Donnelly did a wonderful job. I really enjoyed this. So clever. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful comment, Miss Katie. And what did you think, Zach?
I thought it was a sort of nostalgia that is very relatable. I'm sure many people probably share the same, a similar set of core memories that are described in the poem, like Duck, Duck, Goose, or... you know, imitation of adults as kids. I'm sure that's like a lot of what like Rugrats is based around. It's kind of what I remember. Sorry, I lost my thought. Yeah.
No, but it was still a good thought. Yeah, thank you, Zach. And I would like to know what you thought, Frank.
Well, you know, being a child, it makes me think about memories of my own. I really like the whole notion there that we all, what you said, you know, about us being a child at heart, even though we are adults now. I find that to be refreshing there. Sometimes we are so submerged in our, or emerge as well in our world, mind or life, that we forget the essence of what grew us, and that was our childhood. So I think he did a fantastic job in the poem in emphasizing that as well, giving us a bit of notification there where of never to forget where we came from.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And Gray, what did you think of this poem you just read?
Well, the part where it says But anyway, it just reminds me of sticking my tongue to a metal post when I was a child again and learning that lesson the hard way.
You're not doing that as an adult, are you?
Well, you know, sometimes I just can't help myself.
Oh, no, Grail. Oh.
You know, just it's so crazy. Enough. You know, you see it all encased in frost, and your tongue just gets drawn towards it, and then it sticks there.
Oh my God! Thank you, Gray. And we are ready for our next poem.
Right, next we have for Raphael, age 6. By Miriam Kilmer, and if you don't mind, I would love to read this one.
Oh, she said, did she say she wanted to read it, or she asked for a reader? I'm not sure.
I don't think, okay. I'm not doing well tonight. If you get to my poem,
no, that's okay. She put a long note. There's a long note. She says, if you get to my poem, someone please read it for me. So yes, you can read it. I just wanted to make sure.
No, quite right. You've got to keep an eye on these things because, you know, I don't.
no problem there.
Ah, dear. You should be me, you know, because it's a great life inside this head. It really is. Okay. Ah, dear me. But, okay, for Raphael, age 6. When I went walking down the beach today, I met a dog who tracked my every step and tackled me for sport. Among the waves, we dodged and tagged each other. Silver foam arranged itself around our dancing feet. A quickly rising tide assailed our game, while heat of sun and sand attacked the cool white spray. Above our heads, a flock of gulls came wheeling, wailing, swooping through the blue. Coquinas raced the surf in hide-and-seek, as splash and roar of breakers lashed the shore. Our whole world joined the chase in aimless joy. The winners, a retriever and his boy. End poem.
Yeah, I think we read this before. And I don't mind reading again because it is just such a beautiful poem. She says, my poem honors a bright interlude on Chekhov's VBA about 33 years ago. A stray golden retriever taught my little nephew how to fetch a big stick. And she got a bronze medal on this, and congratulations. This is just beautiful storytelling. You know, my dog always loved for me to throw the ball, but he never brought it back. So I think I got more exercise than he did. You know, and he knew what it was for because he would want to play, and then he would get close to me and, you know, go like, Nana, Nana, I'm not giving it to you. You know, but, you know, there's just something about watching a child do something for the first time and the child realizes that relationship that you can have with a dog and, you know, to be running in the water and him throwing a stick and bringing it back. You know, I can just imagine. Just like the sun was out there with the birds, that this just filled her with happiness. And obviously it did, because she wrote about this was written January 16th, and it's just beautiful. I just thought, the joy of nature. Gorgeous poem and beautiful read, Miss Katie. What did you think, Gray Eyes?
I really enjoyed the nostalgic feel to it, there's such a wonderful memory shared here. And, I really enjoyed that opening stanza where it says, when I went walking down the beach today, I met a dog who tracked my every step and tackled me for sport. Among the waves, we dodged and tagged each other. Silver foam arranged itself around my dancing feet. I mean, you can picture all that and you can imagine it happening. You know, dogs are such a wonderful free spirit that when you connect with them, it's just a beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing. Great reading, Eva.
Beautiful comment, Gray. What did you think, Zach?
I agree with Gray. Although I'm not particularly a dog person, I still love dogs. I still love my friends' dogs. And there's just one time where just reminded me of this one time. I was I'm at a lake shore, at the lake where I normally frequent with my dad and my brother, and we were walking home on the shoreline, and a Rottweiler kind of just followed us, not in a menacing way, just kind of playing with us. And we were wondering why this is happening, and it's just so tenacious. And it's just almost like we adopted it, but all of a sudden the owner came by and just said that, oh, yeah, she kind of does that with everybody. Her name's Layla. Say hi, Layla.
Aww.
It's very cute. It's a very cute memory.
So are you a cat person?
Yeah, normally, yes.
Oh, okay. Just asking. Okay. And Frank, what did you
think of memories of my own childhood when I used to have dogs and they've been dead now for years, but you never forget them. This was a very heartfelt poem, yeah. You know, she really brought a topic here, really hit home to me here. This is just the whole notion of the remembrance of after 33 years is just beautiful. I thought the poem was a beautiful memory captured in this poem.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Beautiful
and
comment.
I'm a dog person,
and yeah. Yeah. Oh, your baby chihuahua.
Yeah, of course. He's asleep by now.
Aww.
Right next to me.
Aw, keeping you warm. I like it when my cat sleeps next to me. Miss Katie, what did you think of this beautiful poem by Miriam?
Oh, it's just that, isn't it beautiful? But I love her little sense of humor in her AN about the golden retriever teaching her little nephew how to fetch a big stick. I think that's so clever. I really can imagine the dog going, right, go on, get it. You do it. You
your turn.
So cool. You know, I'm a dog person, but you know, I love cats. I would never, you know, I think they're just such a clever thing. Cats. You don't own a cat. A cat owns you, which is the difference.
That
between,
is true.
Yeah, between dogs and cats. My dog actually saved my life once. Very quick story, but I took her for a walk along a country lane, and she is the best natured little thing you've ever met. Black and white. Cross and wonderful. So off we went down the lane, took her off the lead, and then we were getting towards the end of it. I put the lead back on, and suddenly she stopped, and her hackles, her back went up, her teeth were showing, and she growled a growl I'd never heard. And I thought, what the heck? So I'm trying to pull her forward, she wouldn't go, and I suddenly sort of looked at her, and the look in that little dog's eyes, there was something there at the end of that lane, and we both turned and ran. And I never went down that lane again, but it was just so weird.
No, I do believe you have to listen to your animals.
Yeah.
So I have my cat on a leash too, and I do walk my cat. People think I'm crazy. And, I don't want him to get loose, because there's all kinds of diseases and things they can get, and I don't want somebody to... I don't know if they would be able to beat him up because he's like a leopard. Here this is mild-mannered kitty. And then all of a sudden I heard the most horrible cat screeching that my hair went up on my neck. And jumped up over one hedge of my flowers, across the sidewalk, the other hedge of my flowers, to chase off another cat that had gotten into his spot.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Scared. I had never, you know how you watch on TV how leopards jump out of a tree and attack? He looked just like a, and I mean, I have never, it is, I listen, like if he picks up his ears, and even with my dogs, I have always, I am not one of those people that got to go, well, let me go check it out and be curious. You know, one of those people that goes into that, the basement.
Yeah.
No, ma'am, thank you. You can go do that yourself.
I'll be right back. No, you won't.
Oh, creepy, isn't it? Very clever.
But anyway, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, they can be loving, but they can also be, to me, they're like an alarm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad you didn't go down there because whatever it was not good.
No, I still feel that horrible feeling. It was just so weird. Oh, anyway, yes, sorry.
Well, the good thing is that we still have you here, Katie.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Well, you know, I love you so much, Frank, that I'd probably just haunt you.
Oh, there you go. You're a type of actor, yeah? I know how to hide.
Cool.
Okay.
Are we ready for our next? Is everybody?
Yes, ma'am. We are ready for our next film. And Gray and Zach, you can always jump in. And I did like that story about how your dad and y'all were walking, and that, you know, that Rottweiler was following you guys. That was sweet.
What a goofy dog. Yeah, it was such a sweetheart.
Nice. Him? Let's not read. Let him read that. I will send him a note for next Monday. Yeah, I like to listen to what the poets tell me to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like you guys to keep coming back, because you know I love you.
Okay. I didn't see it anywhere that said you didn't want it read, so sorry about that. Not a problem. I shall carry on regardless. Here we have, I think I'm in a cartoon. Here we have Pulling from the Void, Rebirth by Anguish. And Zach, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. It shows up on my thing here.
It will in a
moment.
I was looking for it as well.
So was I, Frank. So was I.
Pulling from the Void by Anguish. I cannot say where the daylight died, nor ascertain the why, but darkness left me mystified, a frozen passerby, the eyes imbibed, a shadowed ghost, thus held amid the past, like all those friends who overdosed, the sorrows left amassed, and now I've died and seen the void beneath those shuttered eyes. The sickness longs to be destroyed, yet holds no compromise. Just feel the poison block the vein as colors ossify. Just feelings numbed with Novocaine, the devil's lullaby. And now I've lived and come alive like stars in ebon skies, a flailing light that must survive as darkness damnifies. And now I've broken down the gates between this hell and home as warmth begins to permeate this gelid catacomb. I feel as though I'm born anew beneath the brighter star as truth begins a rendezvous with tattered avatar. Just watch me break these bitter chains and vaporize this tomb. Remove the paint from window panes so light can kill the gloom. End poem.
What a fabulous read, Zach. I mean, you really did a fabulous read on Anguish's poem. I would like to know what you think, Miss Kenny.
Oh, yes. This was, wow. Just watch me break these bitter chains and vaporize this tomb. Remove the paint from window panes so light can kill the gloom. That's a lovely ending, isn't it? This is very well written, mm-hmm. obviously. Pulling from the void. This feels as if it's been dragged from the poet's mind. It has to get out and get written. You know, one of those pieces of poetry that you know it had to be written and we had to read it. But there's so much in this that you've got to go back and read again. But and now mm-hmm. I've died and seen the void beneath those shuttered eyes. That's just so. It's not even beneath those closed eyes. We've got beneath those shuttered eyes. There's a lot of thought and careful consideration gone into this one. So very well done. Thank you so much for sharing.
And Gray, I would like to know what you think. Thank you, Katie. What you thought? Excellent comment. You thought of English's poem.
Well, you did a great read on it, Zach, but, you know, I really enjoyed it. You know, it's the battle between light and dark. You don't want to be swamped in darkness, otherwise, you know, you'll have to scrape the paint from the window pane so that the light can kill the gloom. Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic tale of light and dark, light versus dark.
Mm-hmm. You know, this poem to me is, not only is it dark, but it weighs heavily on me when I was reading it. I feel this immense sadness when I heard Zach reading. He talks about his friends who overdosed and the sours left amassed, you know. The wreckage you leave behind when you do drugs in your life, and also what happens when, you know, family finds you overdosed or can't find you, and, you know, that disaster that they have to carry with them, those that are still alive, you know. And he talks about just to feel the poison, the vein and colors ossify, just feeling numbed with Novocaine, the devil's lullaby, you know. And a lot of people, you know, sometimes, you know, the drugs don't have to be illegal. They can be legal. And, you know, I don't know if that's what's causing him to want to numb himself with the deaths of his friends, you know. You leave the living trying to find a way out of, like he says, the catacomb. And, you know, I don't know if he's, you know, this is the drug use of his friends and family or something that he's dealing with. You know, but until you learn to deal with the issues that you have with drugs, that is the only way you're going to be able to drop those bitter chains and be able to open the windows and breathe fresh air of being somebody that's not addicted to something. What did you think of the poem, Frank?
Well, you know, the poem was very, very dark. But yet at the same time, it was very visceral. You know, I agree. Just listening to you and others comment on this, this really just reflects really the turmoil that really is when it comes to such things as drugs and so be it. You know, it's a very powerful piece, and I like the way that it's personified, you know, the humbleness of this poem is reflected throughout the poem, and I really like the notion there. Light and kill the gloom. So, you know, it's a very powerful piece.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Frank.
Yep.
And Zach, you did a fabulous job in reading English's poem. I would like to know what you thought about it.
Definitely felt like being pulled inward to like a void or something, like pulled inward to the void mm-hmm. and out again. Especially right away, too. Can't say where the daylight died, so you don't know at which point your reality broke or changed. And that's a very terrifying thought, and it kind of just continues until somehow he's able to climb out of that void a little bit, the poet or the speaker, and kill the gloom with light at the end. So that's still the last stanza of it brings hope to mind. So I thought that was very a kind of a cathartic way to end the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Thank you. Excellent comments, everybody. We're ready for our next link, Miss Katie.
Right, next we have, I think this might be the last SoundCloud, Beat Up and Bruised and Battered, song lyrics by Budho Blue. And it's a SoundCloud. Gray, if you could put that on for us, please.
For that. I love listening to his music and his lyrics. This one kind of just like hits you right in the kisser, you know, your heart, you know, I don't know if you've all had these emotions or felt that way, you know, when you just feel so beat up and bruised and, you know, just all torn apart and, you know, and then, you know, you finally come to that decision after many tears and many thoughts, and you know, for us poets, after we write, we have that release and emotional release. And this was just sadly beautiful. Thank you, Ludo. What did you think about this song and poem, Miss Katie?
Oh, it was beautiful. It was beautiful in a sad and painful way. The voice was just so, that little rough edge, but soulful at the same time. The words were, in its simplicity, the words were perfect. It just flowed as you would expect it to. This was lovely. I love the voice. I love the lyrics. I just think the whole thing was great, and I want to hear more. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Budho.
Thank you. And Gray, thank you, Miss Katie. What did you think?
Yeah, you know, Budho's such a talented fellow. He writes and sings. It's just a wonderful combination to be able to share with the world. So kudos to you, Budho.
Thank you, Gray. And what did you think, Zach?
It was just a powerful and a potent declaration of survival, and yet such a lonely kind of piece with the repetition of me, myself, and I. And but yet, like, despite being torn up, bruised and beaten and tongue-tied, he still manages to make it to the other side intact. And it reminded the whole sentiment of the poem reminded me of Bradley James Noel, who's the singer of Sublime. He kind of like reminded me of Sublime, both in the way he sang it, and like the kind of the tone of the lyrics kind of reminded me of that too. So I thought it was really well done.
Thank you. Excellent comment. So I'll have to look up that group, Sublime. And Francisco, what did you think?
Well, I thought always listening to Udo is always great. He always brings a soul into his pieces, you know, whether they're comic, whether romantic, it's so good. When he sings it, he expresses it in emotions, deep, raw emotions. This is no exception to that rule. And I really like the notion there of to survive, I'll be me, myself, and I. It really, really, you know, I speak only a sample there, so I believe he's probably going to add more to this piece when he's done. But as always, I'm always a great fan of his.
Great. Thank you. And Miss Katie, I believe we have time for one more.
Okay. I just got this one up. I don't know how long it is, but. Okay, this is Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road by Lauren 67. And Frank.
I knew you would ask me this. Okay, let's go. let's run with this piece here. Okay, this is called Why Did the Chicken Cross the Road by Lauren 67. Age-old questions finally answered in 3, 2, 1. We arrive on the air. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Age-old questions finally answered. That delves into the question of why did a chicken cross the road? And here to answer we have a Mr. Chicken Chet. How do you do, Mr. Chet? Oh, just called me Big Chet. I've got two little Chets and one on the way. Well, congratulations. Thank you, but I crossed the road because the road is a liar. Mr. Long Winding Road, you shouldn't talk. Mister, who came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, at least I don't exaggerate. Mr. Long Winding Road, don't flatter. Well, there you have it all. Age-old questions finally answered. Why did the chicken cross the road? Good night, everybody. The end. End of quote. You realize
I'm
late for me at this hour.
I have to say that was a fabulous performance, and I was just looking at Bill Chiller. He went and told us, it reminds me a little bit of Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
He's changed funny, did a lot of dancing around to get nowhere, but a real good read for me. You know, and that's true. You know, you read all this and you're going, so what's the answer? And you did such a fabulous job. Quick comments. Miss Katie, what did you think?
As usual, the man makes me laugh. Brilliantly funny. Thank you, Lauren 67.
Thank you. And great.
Yeah, you know, Silent Giant Spirit in this, right? It's too funny. Great job. Excellent. Right?
And Zach?
Yeah, I was trying to find out the answer myself, but I kept on like trying to make heads or tails of it, and then I realized that the point of it was that wasn't the point, and I loved it that much more. It's really well done.
That was a great answer. And Francisco?
Well, I thought the chicken always crossed to the other road to reach the street, but I guess I don't know. But this was a fantastic humorous piece.
Agreed. Now, what a way to end the show. We had such fantastic poetry tonight and audios. And we only got 20 seconds, so I want to tell everybody good night. I love you. Besitos a todos. Te quiero. I love you. And... good night, Miss Katie and Gray and Zach and Francisco and Puddles and Quicken and Rosie and Robbie and everybody that was on here tonight. Buenas noches. Good night,
everybody.
Fantastic show.
Good night.
Take care, everyone.
Good night, you darling people. Catch you soon
tonight. Until
the chicken reaches the road, at least it crosses the road.
I like the question.
It's too great to be.
I know, it is late. Good night, everybody.
Yeah, for me. I need to get some sleep here because I'm going to pass out on that chicken.
Yeah, I
got
to get up early tomorrow, too. All right.
Yes.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Good night.
Good night. Take care.
Good night.
Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do.